Welcome in. Hour number three, Thursday edition, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us, listening either live, on podcast, streaming, wherever you may be across this great country. We appreciate you spending your day with us. We have talked about a lot of different topics in the first 2 hours. If you want to dive into some of those discussions, encourage you to download the podcast. We talked about the Florida face mask data. No big surprise to anyone who had been looking at the face mask data overall, but there is no benefit to kids wearing masks in schools, according to the data coming out of Florida, where cases continue to plummet overall, including among school children. That isn't stopping the push for kids ages 5 to 11 to be forced, potentially, to get the COVID vaccine, depending on which state and community you may live in. We have been talking about the demands potentially for vaccine passports for travel. Also, an insane idea that everyone in the country should be tested twice a week for COVID. We just heard us talking about the Department of Justice investigating parents as domestic terrorists for comments that they are making at school boards relating to COVID masking and also critical race theory. All of that, good discussions. Plus, we had Gordon Chang on in the last hour. Why does Taiwan matter to the American people, and what might happen if China actually invades Taiwan? Really interesting discussion with him in the second hour of the program. You can make sure that you hear and see everything that we had to say about those topics by downloading the podcast. Search out my name, Clay Travis. Search out Buck Sexton. But big story that is out there is Joe Biden's overall approval rating, despite the fact that, at least according to the official tallies, he is the most popular president in the history of the United States, Buck Sexton. 81 million votes.
How could he not be? It's not like Democrats had repudiated him and thought he was a joke for decades until 5 minutes ago.
And his approval rating, according to the most recent poll, and this is a big deal, from Quinnipiac University, which does really pretty regular polls. And look, I understand all polls have flaws. We certainly know that. But in general, Buck, I don't think of Quinnipiac as being one that is associated with one political party or the other. Is that fair to say? It tends to be a middle-of-the-road-ish polls as these things go. It's not as if it regularly wildly overvalued Donald Trump support or anything during his tenure as president or during the last couple of presidential campaigns.
Yeah, Quinnipiac, it's all right.
All right, there you go. Solid endorsement of the university as a whole. All right, I'm looking at the poll numbers right now, Buck. And if I am in the Biden White House, I am in terror over these. Okay, Joe Biden's overall approval rating right now, 38% among all voters. For independents, 32% approval of Joe Biden, 60% disapproval. All right, that is the persuadable middle. I thought this was interesting. For men, 58% of men disapprove of Joe Biden. 48% of women disapprove of Joe Biden. The only people right now, this is crazy, that are white that approve of Joe Biden are four-year college graduates, and even that group is a tiny number. I thought this was interesting, Buck. Even among young people, 36% approval rating for Joe Biden among those 18 to 34. The high water mark for approval for Joe Biden is actually people who are 65 and up. He has a 1% approval rating there. The least approving of Joe Biden, interestingly though, are people ages 50 to 64. So seniors are strongly in approval. And here's where some of these specifics. The majority of the population now disapproves of the way Joe Biden is handling the coronavirus, which is pretty strong, including substantial numbers of young people, which would explain the F Joe Biden chants that we may be hearing so frequently.
I mean, Clay, this is all just putting numbers to the perception that anybody who's living in America and being honest has right now, which is the country is not doing well. It doesn't feel like it should at this stage, given we've had this mass vaccination campaign. We should have had an economy that felt like a rocket ship. And instead, we've had a lot of excuse making and actually a lot of scapegoating of people who have resisted vaccine mandates or haven't gone along with every aspect of Fauciism. If the Biden administration right now was tasked with coming up with which they are, right, in different ways. But if you read the talking points or you heard the talking points about their best case as to how they've done a good job so far, it would be a laughable list. I mean, it wouldn't actually pass the laugh test. People would hear this stuff. They'd say, oh, I'm sorry, we're supposed to think the economy's so great right now. Nobody feels like the economy's so great. And really, Clay, what I think they're hoping on, they're banking on, which is why there's so much at stake with the reconciliation bill, which we still know is going to get through at some level. It'll probably be $1.5 or maybe $2 trillion, is that they're going to turn on the money gun. And they're going to try to anesthetize the American people. They're going to try to buy us off with our own money to turn the numbers around that you're citing from this polling. That's the whole game. They got to redistribute that wealth around. They got to take, you know, even bigger debts that will affect future generations and make people feel like things for them are a little bit better, or at least by going after the super rich or whatever they're going to say, they'll make it seem worse for other people and make those feel good by comparison who have a bit of social justice and really class warfare feeling.
What do you think the worst of all of these categories is Joe Biden approval wise? Where are people most furious with Joe Biden right now? I think the border. This is crazy. Listen to these numbers on the border. Right now, Joe Biden, do you approve or disapprove of the way he's handling the situation at the Mexican border? 23% approval. 67% disapproval. Buck, for independent voters, 73% of them disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling the border. And even those white four-year college degree owners, 66% of them disapprove of Joe Biden at the border. And by the way, all ages, even young people, are even more likely to disapprove of Joe Biden than the overall percentages. I can't remember seeing any particular subject where a president was this underwater on his job.
It's worth noting that what catapulted President Trump to the front of the pack of Republicans was, I remember that election very well. I was covering it very closely. It was the border issue, folks. Yeah, Trump was a showman. Trump was engaging, entertaining. He was an extended middle finger to the class of elites from which he came, but had repudiated on behalf of the working men and women of America. Right. There was a lot. But the border was the issue that separated him from the rest. The build the wall chance. We all remember this. This is, if you're looking at, I mean, Clay, the numbers bear it out. By the way, the border is the worst it's ever been.
Yes.
So if this polling has any merit whatsoever, or rather, if it's possible for people to have their opinions changed on the border, they would have to think that it is worse now than it's ever been, because that is what the data actually reflects when you're looking at illegal crossings, the general lawlessness. Let's not forget the highest ever overdose rate in this country last year. Over 90,000 people died. Vast majority of that fentanyl, those opioids, coming across the U.S.-Mexico border, brought here by the cartels that are also doing the human smuggling operations. And it's not going to get any better, Clay. This is a part of it that, you know, so as a counterpoint almost to my sense that, oh, gosh, I don't want us to get complacent. The one area where I think they have no chance of spin, no chance of turning the narrative around, is the border, because they won't go to the Trump policies that secured the border. And therefore, their best hope is going to be call everybody who points out what's happening at the border racist, or ignore it entirely as a national press matter. That's what they're going to try to do.
We've been talking about how low can things go, to your point that you're afraid that it just can't get any worse. Biden's approval rating among Democrats is still 80%, but that's the lowest approval rating I can remember for a president of either the Republican or the Democratic Party, because we talk about, hey, you got 40% of people that are basically going to be ride or die with you. And even now, Biden is losing them. And by the way, Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, speaking of the immigration disaster that is going on right now, I can't remember ever seeing a president polling this low in terms of any issue, much less one of such integral importance as the border. Ron Johnson's talking about how Biden is just letting everybody into the country even though it's absolute insanity. Listen to the numbers here from Ron Johnson.
The border crisis. I finally got the numbers out of the DHS in terms of how many people they dispersed so far in the first 9 months, about 500,000. You add on to that Rodney Scott, the recently retired border chief, 400,000 known gotaways. That's 900,000 people. Extrapolate that for the year, that's 1.2 million people. That's a larger number than the populations of nine states. It's not just sheer incompetence. This is what he intended to do. This is what Democrats want. Open borders, weak America, a weakened military, higher energy prices, penalizing low-income individuals, and they purport to be for low-income Americans. They're not. Their policies harm poor people.
Republicans, Clay, have to make this case. The data is very compelling, and it cannot be refuted. But they have to also explain, why is this a problem? I mean, I know right now there are a whole lot of legal immigrants who are listening to this who would say, for one thing, it is a total slap in the face to the people who came here and went through the process. In some cases, you know, had to get visas and then renewed visas and pay immigration attorneys and had to get their sponsor to all these different things. They could have just shown up, been told by the cartels what to say, lied because they're not actually fleeing oppression or violence. They're just saying it, and then disappear in the interior of the United States. And what does it do? What does it actually do to wages in different parts of the country when there's a large surge of illegal aliens who will be competing for those wages? They always say, oh, it doesn't bring down national wages. Yeah, of course. It's not necessarily going to bring it down all across the country at the same time. But in areas where you've had large illegal migrant flow in recent months, you are going to see an effect on the wage scale. You are also going to see an effect on emergency rooms, on the school systems, on all these resources that are paid for by people's tax dollars. And also there's the notion of sovereignty. America is supposed to be able to determine who comes and who doesn't. At some point you ask, how do we have a country if we can't actually determine who comes and who goes and under what circumstances?
I think that is something. I mean, 70% of independents agree with that, Buck. I mean, Biden is underwater on an unbelievable level on the border. And so if I were right now advising Republicans on areas to attack Joe Biden, I go after the places where he is weakest and where people are going to respond the most aggressively.
I doubt that there are many shows that spend more time talking about the border crisis than this one. As a part of their 3 hours on the air, or even, you know, even shows that are you know, out there that are closer to the border. I'm just telling you, Clay, I think you're right. I think this is where the Democrats could see huge problems going forward. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation follows the words of St. Francis of Assisi: while we have time, let us do good. And they're doing a lot of good every day across the country. Tunnel to Towers Foundation has spent years focusing on providing mortgage-free homes for families of our 9/11 fallen first responders, and they've done that consistently. Between now and the end of the year, they're gifting 200 mortgage-free homes to America's heroes and their families, Clay. It's why we're so honored to be a part of getting the word out about what this organization does.
There's no doubt, and it is absolutely fantastic. You need to sign up right now. Make sure that you are a part of Tunnel to Towers. T2T.org. It's just $11 a month. You can get hooked up right now and make sure that you are helping to do your part. T2T.org, Tunnel to Towers. They do phenomenal work. Just $11 a month. Get signed up today.
If the drive-bys had just listened to me, if they had just taken a moment to take note of what I said and actually consider it, they wouldn't be surprised today.
The Institute for Advanced Conservative Studies. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. Inspired by Rush on the EIB Network.
Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We were talking just a few moments ago about the border and how the border is an absolute mess. But remember, it's not that it's a mess because we can't figure out what to do, or the Biden administration is trying everything they can. They're trying to make it secure. And no, they like the outcome. They just don't like you being aware of it. They want as many illegals to come into the country as possible. That's why they pretend to oppose this in public, while then behind the scenes, when it comes to the actual bureaucracy, and the way the DHS is handling all this and ICE and the undermining, the constant undermining of Border Patrol by this Biden administration, they show you with their actions what they really want, which is as many illegals as possible. But that's a story that we continue to hit here because the American people need to know about it, and the Democrat corporate media wants to suppress it, doesn't want to talk about it. There's another story that we will also continue to just bring up so we're all aware of what's going on, and that is that there are still Americans who are left behind by this Biden administration in Afghanistan. Do we know how many? Well, here's the latest from the West Wing with Jen Psaki.
Do you have any update on Afghanistan and how many Americans are still there? And does the president feel the Taliban's cooperating still with efforts to get those remaining Americans out?
We remain through appropriate channels, of course, in touch with Taliban officials. In terms of the specific numbers, I'd point you to the State Department, and they have the most updated number on that, given they oversee that process.
They oversee it, Clay, but it's interesting because the buck stops with the White House.
Yeah.
The White House is calling the shots on all of this. They don't have the number. They won't share the number. Now, if they want to say that's for operational security reasons, I'd be willing to hear that. But then they'd be implying they know. I don't even think this Biden team knows how many Americans are left behind. And I don't think they care all that much. I think they want to focus more on the insurrectionist soccer moms.
There's no doubt about that. And we talked about this yesterday. And how much discussion did you even see in the media, Buck, surrounding the information that the 13 American servicemen that we lost because of Biden administration incompetence? And we knew that. But specifically, the person who blew himself up was a prisoner that we allowed to be set free. And within a few days, he was blowing himself up, killing dozens of Afghans, as well as 13 American servicemen. Every time we look at any of the details surrounding Afghanistan, Buck, things just get worse and worse for the Biden administration, whether it's killing an innocent man and seven young children while thinking that he was an ISIS-K fighter, or letting an actual ISIS-K fighter out of our prison so he could go kill our soldiers.
Somehow, Clay, I mean, I said this on Fox News after that horrible incident with 13 people, and they were asking me, Buck, you were CIA. How are we going to, they say they're going to find these people. And I said, there's no way we have the intel network on the ground, the real-time action to find who did this and to necessarily stop the next one. We're relying on the Taliban. I knew that. But the Biden administration, yeah, they really thought they got him with that. They were doing a victory lap on that drone strike that killed 10 innocent people, seven children.
No doubt. It's awful. When we come back, we'll continue to contextualize all the insanity that's going on out there. I'll play a clip for Buck from Bill Maher and see if he believes me that Bill Maher might have been red-pilled or not.
We'll
got
see.
Another clip. But first, a third of Americans suffer from chronic pain as a result of aging, exercise, overexertion, and the effects of everyday living. They need a solution. If you're included in that number, you need a solution too. We've got it. It's Relief Factor, created by doctors, perfected over 15 years of scientific research. Relief Factor made for you. Four key ingredients, 100% drug-free product. My wife uses it. Buck's dad uses it. 7 in 10 people who try it go on and order more. So why wouldn't you join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start right now? For only $19.95, go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. To get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you, go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Again, more than 500,000 people have already done it. It's less than $20. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Buck, I don't know if you've been paying attention to this story, but I think it's a fascinating one, and I've been on Fox News a couple of times talking about it. Sage Steele is a long time, I think it's fair to say. She's been at ESPN for a long time. She went on Jay Cutler's podcast. Jay Cutler is a former NFL quarterback. And we had Jay on the show a few weeks ago. He said he's going to run for the school board and we live in the same county here in Tennessee. He's so fired up about the mask mandate. But she went on with Jay, and she said that she was really upset that her employer, ESPN, mandated all employees get the vaccine. And so she decided to go ahead and get the vaccine, but she didn't think that was the right choice for her employer. She then got the vaccine, but has already tested positive for COVID, Buck, in another one of these wildly rare, according to the Fauciites, breakthrough cases that seem to be happening a great deal.
At what point do we stop calling them breakthroughs?
It's a great question. What should
I do
we
wonder,
call?
You know, if it's like going to be 50% protection,
it's a great
is
question.
It a breakthrough?
What is the word that you would, again, we talked yesterday, I don't even know that it's appropriate to call the COVID vaccine a COVID vaccine. It's a COVID shot. But we typically, and a doctor was mad at me, he said, I call it the flu vaccine. I don't know why you and Buck wouldn't. I don't know anybody that calls the flu shot the flu vaccine. Do you? Have you ever heard anybody call it the flu vaccine?
People always didn't get the flu shot. Maybe that's just kind of in the parlance of our times. People say yes. The shot, but no one has ever thought, oh, yes. You get the flu shot, you'll never get the flu for the next, 50 years. No one thinks that.
So I think we should start calling it the COVID shot. Because the idea that it's a vaccine, to me, a vaccine has to be something that guarantees pretty much for most people that you're not going to be getting this virus. But I think it's interesting, Sage Steele at ESPN, because she's suspended now for at least a week because ESPN was angry about her criticizing the vaccine mandate. And so it was an interesting question that I thought that rose up. Because there's so many people out there that are being mandated, forced to get the vaccine. What is it? Let's say we talked about the decision people, Buck, have to make. Are you going to keep the job or not keep the job? And most people are going to have to keep the job because that's how they make the living. They pay their mortgage. They take care of their kids. But what is the response if you decide that you'll get the vaccine, but also want to speak out about the fact that you don't think it makes sense? Shouldn't you have the right to do that? If you are staying employed and your employer now has a vaccine mandate and you disagree with that, but you also don't want to walk away and get a new job.
Yeah,
I'm going to speak
agree.
Out.
Look, I agree in principle, but then you get into, well, what other, can you speak out against the specific diversity and inclusion policies of your company because you oppose those on ethical grounds, right? You start to get into the how much criticizing of your own employer allowed to do in general. I agree with you that in principle you should be able to say this, but you should be able to speak out on this issue because it is of such public importance. It is of such importance to all of us. But to give a sense of how there's really a vindictiveness now about this too. I believe it's going on today in Oregon. They have some kind of a board, the state of Oregon, which we haven't talked about Oregon in a while. We got some great listeners in Oregon. A lot of our people are, Eastern, sort of more Eastern Oregon away from the coast, but I'm sure we got Portland listeners too. They are looking to pull the licenses for nurses who are fired or at least suspend their licenses. So it's not enough to get you fired from your job as a first responder during the pandemic because you don't want the shot. And by the way, there's no exemption for natural immunity. They want to make sure you can't get a job elsewhere too in your profession because that's how nasty and vindictive they want to make this whole thing. For again, so you can get a shot that you need to get another one in 6 months or else you're basically like, do you even have protection? And you can't have natural immunity for it to prove that. It's just crazy.
Not only that, Buck, have you seen some of these companies are now not only mandating that you be vaccinated, but your spouse, if you are on the healthcare, have you seen this? They're questioning whether your spouse is vaccinated. And if they aren't able to prove proof of vaccination, they're increasing
premiums.
What the charge is
for
your healthcare.
I've seen the premium thing for sure. Yeah, that's the
not even for
this.
You, though. For your spouse, they're now like going into your whole family to check and see what you're doing.
There's no end to this stuff. They're never going to be tired of it. They're never going to decide, maybe that was a little too extreme because they make all these decisions thinking that they inherently, the people pushing this stuff, think they are smarter than everybody who opposes it.
Oh,
they don't think
no
that there's a
that.
Different point of view. They don't think there's a balance between freedom and public responsibility. It's we are the smart people who listen to Fauci and everyone who doesn't listen is dumb. So we don't care what they think. That is the mentality encapsulated here. And this is why I say, hubris is one of the original sins of the left and of the Democrat Party today. They got a lot of really dumb people who are Democrats who think they're really smart, but they
are not. You know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to watch this Dave Chappelle new Netflix comedy special, which is everybody's demanding that it be canceled because it's not positive enough towards transgender people. And I'm fascinated to see it.
It's great advertising, by the way, for a comedy special to be so controversial at this level. So I'm going to, you know what? I might not watch it tonight, but I will watch it this week too. So
I'll give a review of it a little bit for you tomorrow, but this is part of my my brigade, right? I think that comedians are going to end up crushing partly the woke universe because they're just all getting fed up with the idea that every joke has to be, you know, analyzed by the faculty at your school of Amherst. You know, they all got to sit around and be like, well, is this appropriate humor for the young people to be experiencing? And Bill Maher, who I contend has been somewhat red-pilled.
Okay, you can say somewhat. He's not red-pilled, though. Red-pilled means that he's on our team. He's not on our team. I like Bill, by the way. He's an interesting guy. He's a fun guy to talk to. But he is a liberal, folks.
He went after the woke. I haven't even heard this clip yet, but I'm curious. Let's play cut 15.
For the first time in my life, I am playing to a mixed audience. I was in Nashville about a month ago. And the audience was about 60-40, I would say, liberal to conservative. That never used to happen. Never. And I think it's because, you know, 10 years ago, in my opinion anyway, the left did not have a crazy section. There was no such thing as woke. And now they do have a crazy section, which I call out as a liberal. There's a hunger to hear that. I think traditional liberals have had it with the far left of their own party.
I mean, Clay, this was not an overnight thing. This has been growing for a long time. So this, like, where did the woke crazy come from? The difference isn't that there is a woke left. The difference is that they now run the Democrat Party and call all the shots in corporate America. It's a power shift. It's actually not an ideological shift. They didn't really get crazier. They're just in a position to impose their craziness on the rest of us. At least that's the debate that I would have with Bill over this. He sounds like, oh, we used to all be, no. We can go back. Remember we talked about it, the movie PCU? This stuff has been around for a long time, but we all used to laugh at the crazies at least a little bit more. And now the crazies are running the HR departments of every major company in America and often are the CEOs too.
Or the CEOs are so afraid of them that they might as well bend to their will. I mean, it's crazy. If we've learned anything, by the way, we'll talk a little bit more about that because I'm fascinated by identities colliding. And I think traditionally, left-wing comedians are suddenly realizing that their actual enemies are on the left wing. If we've learned anything since 2020, is there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Over 20 years ago, Dr. Dennis Black invented Texas superfood. It is the original superfood, has 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables plus probiotic digestive enzymes. You can build your body's defense from the inside out. And we've learned that your immune system's job, thanks to Dr. Black, is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with, which is why Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. Your grandma told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but unfortunately, a lot of people don't. So what should they do, Buck Sexton?
Well, if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies every day, let's be honest, who does? Texas Superfood was made for you. It's the safety net for the American diet. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to texassuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's texassuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Having more fun than a human being should be allowed. Times two. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Man, parting is such a sweet star with your team. Sorry that we got to close up shop today here on the Clay and Buck show, but we'll be back with you tomorrow and just give you a sense of what you can look forward to. A Berenson deep dive on all the latest COVID data. Our friend Alex Berenson has got a new book out, Pandemia. He'll be appearing with us, and we'll just say, okay, give us what does the data actually tell people? So then you can look like a great prognosticator when it actually starts to show up in our data here in the U.S. based on the U.K. and Israeli numbers. We also have Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter John Ondrazik of Five for Fighting, who's helping with American and Afghan ally evacs going on as we speak. I've spoken to some folks, some former military, about this as well. It's still ongoing. And private citizens are having a very big role in trying to get out the last Americans that the Biden administration has left behind. Also want to say to everybody, happy Battle of Lepanto Day. Clay, you a Lepanto fan?
I don't know what the Battle of Lepanto is.
So on October 7th of 1571, you had what was arguably the largest naval engagement to that point in history, maybe Actium, there are a few others, but you had the Holy League, a number of Christian states, in a massive naval engagement against the unified forces of the Ottoman Empire. And if the Christian forces had lost, it was believed that the next stop for the Ottomans was going to be the invasion of mainland Italy, and with it, Rome and the Vatican. That was the plan that the Muslim Ottomans had at the time. But they prayed the rosary. The Christian forces were victorious. And it is still one of the biggest battles to have ever occurred involving ships. Tens of thousands.
How many people? I'm a pretty big history guy. I don't know that I've ever heard of that battle. What percentage of our listenership do you think has heard of the Battle of Lepanto?
Well, I might have done a two-hour operetta on the Battle of Lepanto as a podcast a few years ago, so they would have heard of it. But it wasn't really an opera. That would be singing. It was a theater of the mind. We had some
I was
sound
saying,
effects
did
stuff.
You sing about it?
No, that was the wrong description of it. It was a podcast, a history podcast for a couple hours. Maybe it was like an hour. I don't think it was a couple hours. Anyway, maybe I'll find that one out in the archives and put it out on Facebook or Twitter. But yeah, Battle of the Panto, October 7th, 1571, Cross versus Crescent, one of the more interesting periods of, High Renaissance warfare, and I think we've nerded out now. We've nerded
out.
Have
you been to Italy?
Yeah, of course.
I've never been.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Italy's amazing.
I've heard it's amazing. I've heard it's incredible. Great country. I'm a huge history guy,
you know,
so I've never made it.
I like France a lot too, but you got to deal with French people.
Yes.
Whereas you're in Italy, you get the great food, all the culture and history and stuff. And Italians, in my experience, okay, toward Americans. A little less likely to be like, what are you Americans doing here, eh? What do you do? You know, they're like a little, that was my French guy.
Yes.
So sort of it's concerned more like Pepe Le Pew as well. All right, let's get, Natalie's going to bail me out here from Scottsdale, Arizona. Natalie, what's going on?
Comment about the mandates, or the shot for the kids. These people are forgetting, like for me, for instance, I gave birth to my children. They did not. So you don't tell me what to do with my kids. And that goes for most of America. You don't tell people what to do with their kids. We raise them. We feed them. We clothe them. We do everything. And we know them better than they do. How dare they come and try to tell us what to do with our children? Sorry, Antichrist Fauci. I won't listen to you.
Someone who dislikes Fauci at the level that yours truly does.
I think, by the way, I think Natalie speaks for a lot of Scottsdale area moms. Just going to toss that out there. I think there's a lot of moms in Scottsdale and all over the country. But I think a lot of the moms who were the most adamantly opposed, and dads, to the idea of mandatory vaccines are very well educated. And that's what I think the caricature of the anti-vax movement, which it isn't anti-vaccine. I'm not anti-vaccines when the vaccines are necessary. They keep Buck trying to say, well, George Washington vaccinated his army against smallpox. Yeah, because almost everybody who got smallpox died.
We actually have Vivek Murthy today saying this, making that same pitch. If we have it, guys, let's play it. I think it would be, where did it go?
Vaccine requirements are not new. In 1777, President George Washington required soldiers to be inoculated against smallpox. In the 1800s, many public schools began to require vaccination for their students. During World War II, the U.S. military required their troops to be vaccinated against a number of diseases, including typhoid, tetanus, and yellow fever. There have been a number of instances throughout history where we have made a decision as a society to abide by common rules that protect the common good.
Yeah, I got two things
to drive below the speed limit.
Yeah, we got enough of this guy. We got the idea. Speed limit, yeah, helmets, we get it. Right, sure. One thing is that, as you pointed out, 30% of all people infected with smallpox die. Smallpox,
yeah.
Highly infectious, 30% of people die. But beyond that, everyone should remember this one, the experts at the time, George Washington got a bacterial infection. You know what the experts at the time did? Drained his blood and almost certainly killed him. So that's what the geniuses, the Faucis of Washington's era demanded. Let's drain this guy's blood while he has a bacterial infection.
Yeah, and look, if COVID was killing 30% of people, I'd be saying, you know what? I think we should
all get the
vaccines.
Shots. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
everybody
if
has
it was
to
killing
it.
Everybody, I mean, you know, if this was like the bubonic plague, I'd say we got to do what we got to do.
Yes, it's not doing that. And it's not killing any kids. And again, I would just say to everybody out there, no school has ever mandated the flu shot that I'm aware of. No school in my lifetime has ever said, if you don't get the flu shot, you're not allowed to attend school. And the flu, the seasonal flu, kills far more children every year than COVID has. We also never have mandated masks for the seasonal flu. If you're not going to treat the seasonal flu, which is far more dangerous to young children than COVID, then what have you been doing for the last generations as it pertains to the seasonal flu?
We've all been mass murderers every winter time and Christmas without knowing it, just by breathing, Clay. That's what we're supposed to think. We're all such bad people. Thank you all for calling in, talking to us. I know a lot more folks that want to weigh in on this one. Trust us, this is not going away. We're going to have our buddy Alex Berenson on tomorrow to go into the latest numbers. We'll talk to him about vaccine mandates in schools, the latest mask data out of Florida, where we are with boosters, all that stuff. He's going to have a lot. Plus, his book Pandemia is out. Recommend you all get a copy of it. We'll talk more about that one tomorrow. And maybe, Clay, since we're holding the line here on the border, maybe we talk the border tomorrow a little bit, too.
Yeah, I think we need to, because it's the number one weakness of Joe Biden, according to that new Quinnipiac poll, where he's only got 38% approval. We'll close out the week in power and strength on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
And if you're not already following us on Twitter and Facebook, Buck Sexton, Clay Travis, Facebook, Twitter, make it so, please. We'd love to have you talking to us there.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.